have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I'm bless your name, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You know, if we would just all meditate on the words to that song, we were created to worship God, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Welcome to For His Glory. I am your apostle, your host, your apostle, Brian Blasingame. I'm here along with my awesome producer, Kimmy Kim, and we welcome you once more again to For His Glory. We thank God for the opportunity to come on tonight. We thank God for having us and allowing us to bring forth the bread of life. We thank God for having you here listening and being a partaker as we come together to focus on the things of God, to spread God's word, to instruct, to build up, to encourage, and in other areas, maybe even tear down some traditions and beliefs that is actually contrary to the Word of God. But again, we thank you for joining us on this marvelous Friday night. Again, we praise God for the opportunity. And Amen. And before we go any farther, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're about to do. We thank you for the things, Lord God, that you've placed in our hands. We thank you, Lord God, that as your word go forth, it will find a resting place upon hearts. That, Father God, the enemy will not snatch these words, but the Holy Spirit will bring these words back to each and every one of our remembrance, Lord God. We decree that the word be hidden out of our hearts, Lord God, that we sin not against you. We ask, Father God, that you continue to bless our wonderful producer, bless our household, bless our family. We thank you, Lord God, for keeping us all in good heaven and good strength. And, Father God, in Jesus' name, we bind the hand of the enemy. We bind any and everything that's not like Christ that will try to come against this word. We bind everything that will try to bring forth repercussions because of the word that's going forth. We thank you, Lord God, for hearing us as when we pray according to your will. In Jesus Yeshua's name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you was with us last week, we discussed the topic called the lunatic. And, of course, it seems as though it ran over into this week. However, we're dealing with saying that we're dealing pretty much with the flesh. So we're gonna, if you will, entitle this one "The Flesh," because we did come to the conclusion that with the lunatic man last week. It wasn't so much that a lot of the saints are really dealing with demons or spirits per se. A lot of us are mature enough to make an intelligent decision whether or not we're going to yield to a particular temptation or not. We came to the conclusion of the matter, and we did share one particular scripture that's found in 1 Corinthians 10. And we'll go there right quick. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it says, "There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And the conclusion that we came into last week was that a lot of situations that we as Christians, we as believers, we run into, is that instances, temptation does come. Let's be frank. Let's be honest. Let's be candid. Temptation does come to each and every last one of us. Sometimes it comes at different scales. Sometimes it helps us to, my God, evaluate ourselves a little bit closer. And what do I mean by that? There's some things that as Christians, we feel as though we've outgrown a particular thing. There's certain times we run across certain situations we think certain things are no longer in us. But sometimes God allows us to get into a particular situation to allow us to realize that there are certain things that are still there. There are certain things that we still may have to work on, things we may still have to seek God about in order not only to get deliverance, but to keep our deliverance in certain areas. Now, I'll share this. I'll share this because I am one who tends to sometimes be transparent. And, sometimes I have gotten some backlash from it, but I found that transparency, it does help. It helps those who are new in the faith. I'm not going to sit up here and try to ask, like, you know, once I got saved, I was Superman and there was no more sin and this, that, and the third. I mean, I just like now, I tried to walk straight and narrow. But however, there were certain things that did pop up in the course. See, that's why the scripture tells us that we have to grow in the grace. The grace that God has given us, we have to grow. He said, "Very, very, I say unto you, except no man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So he literally means that we have to take on Christ. We have to be born again. And just like when we're born again in the natural, we don't come out walking and talking. We have to grow to a certain area, a certain point in our life so where we can walk and we can talk. Well, the same thing happens in the spiritual realm. In your everyday walk as a Christian, you have to grow in the grace. It's not like, you know, you get saved and you say, well, I'm saved, and because I'm saved, I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. I don't have to fast. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to, you know, it's not like that. You have to cultivate. You have to cause your faith. As I was saying, I remember a particular time in my life, there was an incident that took place at a service station. I was in line, and there was a conflict that took place. And I was in line to pay for my gas, and for some reason they wouldn't open the door to the store. They would just only let you stand out there in the line and pay for your gas. Well, a situation arose where these two guys got to arguing, and one guy starts throwing something towards the guy and saying, "Look at it, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, look at it, pick it up." And the guy looked at it and he said, "You don't know what that is." He said, "Look, I'm a married man. You know, you keep messing with me, I'll pop one of these on you, because you know what it was actually a 45 bullet." Well, the guy that he was arguing with, instead of him staying down in the section where he was to argue, finish arguing with the man, he came back up on the other side where I was and was arguing back and forth with the guy, with the people that was in the line to pay for their gas in between them. And it looked as though he went around the building, and when he came back around, it looked as though he had, like he might have had a gun in his pocket too. And before I knew it, a choice word came out of my mouth that I thought was gone, because I knew I had been saved good 5, 6, 7 years strong and hadn't used that word in years. But yet, there was something still on the inside of me that when I saw this, it popped up and popped out before I knew it. So I realized then that, okay, Lord, I still got to work in that area. We realized that we are very much saved. We're very much born again. We're very much of the Spirit. However, we're still walking around this earth, and we're housed in this body called flesh. So as we look into the different words of God, we'll see different things that we must be aware of in order to have a victorious life in God, in order not to have prayers and blessings hindered. We look at certain different scriptures. One of those scriptures I left out on last week, and it's found in 1 Corinthians. And I could go even deeper on that, but I'm not gonna try to because of time and other stuff that I already have got it down. But it talked about 1 Corinthians 10:21, and I shared with them on last week that this was something that I experienced myself. But it says, "You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" When they're talking about you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils, he's talking about the Lord's Supper. He's talking about, you know, the Holy Communion that we take. And God is saying, you can't sit down with him at his table and turn around and sit down at the devil table too. And then it asks the question, are we provoking God to jealousy? You know, Scripture tells us that God is a jealous God. However, he tells us not to be jealous, but he is a jealous God. And by all rights, he is the creator. He is numero uno. So he has a right to jealous. He has a right because he's doing all this providing for us. He's doing all this caring for us. He's doing all this loving. He's doing all this healing. He's doing all this delivering. And then here we go, want to turn our backs on the true and living God to serve another thing, person, place, or idol that can't do anything for us like God can. So, yeah, it does. It provokes us to jealousy. So those are one of the things that God deals with us about. And this is one of the things that God wants us to try to keep us from dealing with certain issues in our lives. Jeremiah 17:15 deals with this. Jeremiah 17:5. I looked it wrong. Jeremiah 17:5. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes the flesh his arm and whose heart departed from the Lord. For he shall be like that he in the desert and shall not speak when good comes. Shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a stout land and not inhabit. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is." Let's look at it again. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, who maketh his flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Listen, cursed be the man who trusts in me and maketh flesh his own. You know, this is being held up by flesh, by man. And I'm going here with something. If it's done by man, it has to be held up. It has to be held up continuously, nonstop, by man. If man set it in place, if man set it in order, if man does it, then man has to keep it up. If man places you in a particular position or a particular place, then man has to keep you in that particular place. If man places you, say, in an office, then man will have to keep in that particular place. If God sets you in office, if God sets you in a particular place, if God, and I'm talking about the body of Christ, I'm talking about the kingdom of God, I'm talking about offices such as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. If God sets you in those offices, then God will keep you. The thing and the difference between man is that man is going to fail you. Man will fail you. Man cannot hold you up but for so. This is a demonstration of the time that God will use me to preach this and illustrate this. And I would have somebody to, you know, hold me up as I lean on. And you can see after a period of time while I'm still preaching and teaching and they're holding me up, they're like, man, hurry up. I can't hold you for so long. And that's the thing about the flesh. The flesh can't hold you up but for so long. And what God is getting us to realize and what God is getting us to see is to for us, in some verses says that the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Listen, he said it right here in 6 verse. He says, but he shall be like the heat in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but to inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. This is what I mean. I have seen, and I've been in ministry good 23 years, I have seen situations, and I didn't want to get in this place this soon, this fast. I have seen, and I've seen situations where people have bargained for certain things with men in certain positions to get certain things. And an offer was made. A deal was made. I'm going to help some of my sisters out there now. There have been men of importance, men in particular positions, that have offered things, cars, positions. Even to the point where, I got a first lady, but I'm ready to get rid of her. And I'm looking at you possibly being my next first lady, so I'm gonna offer you this. And of course, when it comes to you like this, don't think that they're going to want to wait till everything's finalized. Don't think they're going to want to make sure the divorce has taken place before they consummate the new marriage with you. No, that ain't how it works, honey. That ain't how it goes down. They want the goods, and they're going to want to promise you this. And their intentions may be right. I mean, not right, but they may be actually honestly feeling what they're saying. But what I'm telling you is when you start going off into that area, and I've seen it more times than once, and this is how this word right here identifies with the things that I have seen. I'm telling you, God will intervene very thing, and what you thought you was going to get come up zero. I've seen it happen more times than once. It comes up zero. It come up naught. It come up zilch. It come. Woo! And sometimes even after you make the deal, it looks promising in the beginning. It's like you get part of your hand on it. Like, yes, I have succeeded. Yes, I have got what he promised me. But you got to realize that was a promise from the flesh, not the promise from God. Promise from the flesh and not the promise from God. I wish somebody was out there to grasp hold of what I'm saying, because I've seen it happen too many times in the body of Christ. People say, well, bro, are you serious? I mean, this, yes. I've seen some things that go on behind the scenes of what we call the church. God, I'm not trying to tell you to run away from the church. I'm telling you, you need to, that's what you need to be. You need to be in the house of God. But the thing about it is that there are things that you need to be aware of as well. I'm not saying every church is like that. I'm just saying there have been some situations wherein I have seen and I have learned what not to go through or go into by other people's misfortune, by other people's mistakes, more times than one. And it would not do me any good to know these things and not say, look, my brother, my sister, my sisters, this stuff right here go on, so be aware. See, that's what watchmen do. If you're a watchman, if you're a prophet, if you're a watchman, you're on the wall to watch. And if you see something, you're supposed to sound the alarm. Ain't no need in you watching. I know the Bible says watch as well as pray. But, yeah, watch, pray, and you need to sound the alarm. Because if you watch it and you see the wolf and you don't sound the alarm, the wolf go get somebody. Trust the way of the Lord. I know what may be offered to you, and I know it may be offered to you by someone that is of a stature of God, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will prompt you. He will warn you. He will let you know what not to touch. Don't, my God, don't take the fast cut, the shortcut. Don't take the easy way. The way of the Lord may not be so swift. It may not be so quick. It may take you a while to get there. In your way of getting there through God's way, God is preparing you. God is taking some stuff out of you. God is imparting some stuff in you. God is equipping you for when you get to the place that he's taking you. That way, when you get to where he's taking you, you'll be fully prepared. Let patience do her good and perfect work. Don't be so quick and begin in the flesh. See, I was asking somebody, and I said, you know, what if you outrun the Holy Ghost? I said, well, it's got to bring back around to you. I'm not so sure, because sometimes operating in the flesh requires disobedience, and a lot of times with disobedience, you lose something. You may not get a certain thing, especially in time whereby we're living that now in the last days. It may not come back around to you. Sad but true. You know, I mean, you get with something that's of the flesh. God may be already preparing your Boaz. Your Boaz might be right there beside you or coming next week. And you mess around and got in something with the flesh and miss your boys, miss your roof. Because you got with something of the flesh. Be very careful. I don't know who I'm talking to out there with this, but be very careful, because the enemy is out there and he comes to tempt you and he comes to rob you. That's what he comes to do. Come to rob, steal, kill, and to destroy. And he wants to take you away from your destiny. He wants you to take you from your blessed place. Let us be mindful in that. Let's look at Isaiah. I think may have spent too long right there. Let's look at Isaiah. There's something else here that caught my eye as well, though. Isaiah 30. And I believe it's 1. rebellious. Woe. God says, woe. Just woe. Woe to the rebellious children, said the Lord, that take counsel. They take counsel, but not of me. They cover with a covering, but not of my sin, that they may add sin to sin. Let me read that again. He says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover what they cover, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Let me go into that. First of all, he says, rebellious children. Woe to the rebellious children. You rebellious. In other words, you know the way of the Lord. You know the word of the Lord. You know God has instructed you what to do, what not to do, and you just rebellious. There's a woe already placed, but because of your rebellion. You're taking on a counsel, but it's not of me. In other words, you know the counsel. You know the advice that you're being given. You know that it's not of God. So he said, there's a woe upon you concerning that. And then he said, they take on the covering. They cover it. In other words, once you get into this thing, you have to cover it up. And the only thing you really, cover things up with is a lie. You have to take on some kind of cover. And sometimes it takes a person of high authority to try to hide something or try to cover up something. And God said, you're taking on a covering, but the covering is not of his spirit. So there's a woe on you for taking on a covering, and the covering is not of his spirit. And you're taking on this covering so that you may add sin upon sin. In other words, you have no intention of stopping. You have no intention of repenting. You have no intention whatsoever of turning away from the things that please your flesh because you're covering it up. You're hiding it. You don't want to get rid of it. You don't want it to be seen. You don't want it to be heard because you're enjoying it. And that's a dangerous place to be because that thing can become an idol to you. And you can provoke the jealousy of God. It's very, 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 very important, for us. And I said it last week. I think I said it last week. If I didn't say it last week, I might have said it. On a friend of mine's podcast, Apostle Sheely, we were talking about Samson Wednesday. And we got to one particular point. I said, I would like to hope, and I would like to pray, and I like to say that if I was caught up in something and if God sent somebody to me like he did David, he sent the prophet Nathan to talk to David. And when Nathan told David that he was the one who committed the sin, David did not argue with the prophet. David did not lie to the prophet. David ripped his clothes and took on sackcloth and ashes and repented. I would like to believe, I would like to think, I would like to hope and say to whoever the man or woman might, God might, if it comes to that, I pray it don't even come to that. But I like to hope and say, well, God, a man of God, a woman of God, let's pray. Let me confess my fault. Confess our fault one to another in order that I might be healed, because every secret sin go be found out. Let's pray in order that I might be healed instead of sitting there false accusations against me. And why are you slandering my name? Man, you know, you know what you've been doing. You know God sent the man or a woman or God to you to get you to repent. You know. It's not so much that you're now arguing or debating with that man or that woman of God when he became a oracle of God to bring forth the word of God to you. You now lied to the Holy Ghost. That's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. He just asked them a question. And they pretty much didn't really direct a lot. They just acted out a lot and fell dead. Y'all can read about that in Acts 5. And Peter asked him, said, no, do you not know? You're not lying as unto men, but you're lying to the Holy Ghost. We have to be careful. We really have to be careful. Let's go to Romans 7 and 8. Romans 7 and 8. Or did I read that wrong? I did. 7 and 18. This is Paul. He's writing. He says, for I know that in me, parentheses, that is in my flesh, the will of no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. The NET says, for I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For I want to do good, but I cannot do it. There's certain things that we feel like we cannot do because we in this flesh. I want to do good, but this flesh, it keeps pulling me. I was saying just Wednesday, I remember being in church, knowing about God, being baptized, having a membership in the church, but not having really a relationship in the church. I mean, in God. So a lot of my church members, hey, come Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, yes, Sunday night, even after I'm in the church, they could probably see me in a nightclub somewhere. They could probably see me doing some stuff I ain't up in the door. But I felt like that was something I wanted to do. I didn't feel like any demons or any spirits was causing me to do those things that was unseemly. But I don't know how many of you have seen the little cigarette commercial where people be sitting at a bar, or they be sitting around and they see themselves a little silhouette of themselves standing on their shoulder, and all of a sudden that little man on their shoulder pulling them by the collar, they fall off the stool into the floor, and the little man drags them all the way outside, and there he is outside with a cigarette, and he's smoking that cigarette. That is so real that we don't even realize that's exactly what takes place. But we be thinking, well, now this is our choice. This is what we chose to do. This what actually in a sense that is what we chose to do, but there are spirits that entices us to go there because we're still in that flesh. The enemy do things that's blatant. And what do I mean by that? He'll take us into a particular place or restaurant or something like that, and we'll see it out there on the sign and say, food and spirits. Welcome to such and such and such and so where we have food and spirits. Now, listen, food is one thing, but when the sign says spirit, that's more than one spirit. So we know it's not the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is only one spirit. It's only one Holy Spirit. When we say spirit, we're talking about alcoholism, fornication, molestation. All these other spirits is in the house. It's saying, come and get some food and spirit. Now, that's saying, you know they're referring to drinks and whatnot, what have you, but I'm telling you, all these things work together. When they say spirits, Remember, when you say spirits, that's what you're going into. So basically what I'm saying is we have to walk in the spirit and not after the flesh. Walk in the spirit and not after the flesh. Galatians 5:15. Forgive me. Galatians 5:17. It says, For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The flesh lusteth after the spirit, against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. In other words, I have a desire to really want to do the things of God, but because I'm in this flesh is going against what I really want to do for God. I know I need to read my Bible, but this flesh says, so it's coming on TV, or so is coming by the house tonight, or so, you know, have made you this offer or have made you this deal. But I know what my spirit wants to do, but my flesh is warring against that. See, this is why praying, the more you start doing that and reading your word, the more you start doing it, the more your spirit man begins to grow, the more it start taking prevalence over the fleshly things. But if we eat, if we feed that natural man more so than we do the spirit, then we have a tendency to do more of the things of the flesh. That's why a lot of times, a lot of ministry and people would get saved like that. I was telling them, yeah, man, you need to get in the Word. Get in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start off in John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then read it again, because that's going to give you a foundation, a strong foundation as to who you are in Christ, what Christ has done for you. You need that. If it's not but a scripture, if it's not but a verse, it's not but a chapter. It's not but a page. You know, eat on that. Eat that word. It's going to help give you a strong foundation. You won't be just tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Let me get off of that. Because stay there for a minute. Because it's going to go a little bit deeper. It says in the 18th verse, it says, but ye being led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You being led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. I don't know if I should probably get on this again next week. You who are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's another place particular in the Bible that says that the law was not written for the righteous man. I believe it's in Corinthians. It was not written for the righteous man. For the righteous man know to do that, which is unto righteousness. But it was written, the law was written for the sinner. The righteous man know to do that, which is unto righteousness. Now, Jesus said he did not come to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the law. The law is stated, it's in place, so that those that don't know God can abide by that law. They can realize and read and see what is right, what is wrong, what to do, what not to do according to the law, which is the Ten Commandments. But, of course, we're in a time and in a date now to where some places, some courtrooms, certain things, that they want to do away with the Ten Commandments. They want to do away with that. But when you're led by the Spirit of God, there's certain things you know what not to do. You know not what not to do. You know the Spirit of God is dwelling within you, He will check you. He will bring you on point. You will get a nudge. You will get a tug. Don't do this. Don't go that way. He will lead you. He will guide you by his spirit. Now, in the 19th verse, it says, now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, humiliations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we just went over the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, all the things that we see coming to surface when we're walking in the flesh and not after the spirit. That's how we know when we're more over there on the left hand side than we are on the right hand side. When we look at that list right there, we know whether or not we inbound out of bounds, like a football field or basketball field. You know, you step out of bounds, baseball diamond. You step out of bounds, you'll know if you're out of bounds or not. The whistle will blow. But here's the thing in the 22nd verse, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the affections and lusts. That's one of my points right there. Well, a lot of us as saints haven't come to the conclusion, some of us may have come to the conclusion, we just don't do it no more. We have to crucify the flesh. In other words, we have to crucify the flesh. In other words, we have to crucify that flesh. We have to crucify it daily. We have to crucify the flesh daily. Because the more we feed that flesh, the more that flesh will want it. We have to crucify daily. There's no need. If, for instance, I was never really a big drinker in the alcohol, my thing was more marijuana. Now, if I want to stay delivered, I had to crucify it. If I know there's marijuana, I ain't trying to go around too tough. It don't bother me. I've grown to the place now to where, you know, somebody can walk by me and I can smell it and it don't faze me. They had a joint or whatever. Been there, done that, delivered from it. It ain't no big deal. But now I'm not go. Somebody say, Blast, you want a hit of this? No, I don't want a hit of it. I see. I know that if I take a hit of that, the old man go wake up. The old man go want the joint. The old man gonna want the beer. The old man gonna want the liquor. The old man gonna want the women. The old man gonna want all that. By myself from all that. And then some. Ain't no need me trying to. See, that's why even in 12 steps and all this other stuff where people are hooked on cocaine or crack cocaine, they give you the 12 steps. And the first thing they say is you gotta change your playground and your playmates. You gotta quit going to the places where that stuff is available, and you have to quit going around with the people who you know go say, come on, let's go get another hit. Even they have come to that conclusion. Why can't we as saints catch hold to what's being said, what's being done. In the 25th verse, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. Let's have that brotherly love. Not envy, not competing, cheering one another on. If God has brought you to a place where you can exercise your faith to cast out demons, hallelujah. If he's done the same thing to where you can cause the lame to walk, hallelujah. I'm not envious to the point to where I'm going to start spreading salt and putting salt in your name so people won't come to you so that they won't get their healing. And see, most of the time when it's done, like that, they don't even think about the other person getting their healing. They just think about, I'm going to put some salt on your particular name so that your ministry won't flourish. Man, get out the way. Get with God. He's not a risk. If he'll use one person to do something, he'll use you to do the same thing or something else. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. Now is not the time for us to be in competition with one another, ministry for ministry or whatever. It's enough of us to go around. Every man get a man. That's what they used to say. That's what they used to say. They would say down there when they got ready to play football out in Charleston. They'd say, the guys down there from Charleston, they would say, every man get a man and every good man get two. That's the kind of mentality that we need to have as saints. Every man get a man. Every good man get two. Pull him out of darkness into the marvelous light. But no, we got some out there that would rather compete. It's safe, but it's true. Last one, Galatians 6. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I feel like just stopping right there. Because I know there's a lot of saints, man. They think, well, my mind works this way. I can think this way. I can go around this way. I can cut back around the other way. God ain't going to see me. If God see me, there ain't going to be no consequences. I'm just going to ask him for forgiveness. But you can't get around this word. He said, if you sow, for he that sow to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I'm telling you, in the beginning, it may look good. It may sound good. It might smell good. But if you sow into the flesh, eventually, I have a friend. Let me clean this up for him. He said, eventually, your sugar will turn to dung real quick. Paul used the word dung. It will turn real quick. If you start sowing to the flesh, it may look good. It may sound good. It may feel good. It may be all of that and a bag of chips with dips on the side of the Spirit of God. Somewhere down the line, you're going to reap corruption. He said, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household, oh my God, of faith. That would be another sermon right there. He said, be good to all men, but be good especially to them that are of the household of faith. You know, we have some Lord have mercy. We have some who have more respect for those that are not of the faith as opposed to those who they know are in the faith. Yeah, there's just a whole lot that we as saints need to pray about, need to pray on, and need to work on. But that's the word that God has been showing me and preparing me to bring forth for this week. Remember, now that you are the children of light, walk ye in the light. Another scripture says, make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh. In other words, you know it's going to be a drive-by at 11:59. Don't go by the 11:58. It's a drive, but it's going to be fine. Don't start moving things out the way so that you can fulfill the lust of your flesh, because some people do. They will definitely move some stuff, move people out the way so that they can get what they want to get with. But I'm telling you, you may get what you want to get, but there's consequences that you'll have to pay. With that, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to say goodnight to you all. And I'm also going to say goodnight to my awesome producer, Kimmy Q. It's been good. Thanks for having me. But if you're at the sound of my voice, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus as a sinner. I believe that your son died on the cross for my sins. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hand. I confess this with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart. Excuse me. Thank you for allowing me to be a new creature in you. Save me. I renounce Satan. He has no more places in my life. I thank you for allowing me to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, if you prayed that prayer, if you like, you can reach me on Facebook, Snapchat, and you can also reach me on Instagram. Be glad to pray with you, pray for you. Until next week, whatever, just remember, whatever you do, do it in decency and in, but most of all, do it for his glory. Again, we say unto you, good night. Amen.
By faith.